Kidney School, www.kidneyschool.org, Module 6, Anemia and Kidney Disease. Hi, my name's Nancy Spaeth, and I'm a member of the Life Options Council. My kidneys failed in 1966 when I was 19 years old. Today, I'm a grandma, and I work full-time as a rehab nurse. I'm having a really good life with kidney failure, and you can too. Velma recently learned that she has kidney disease. On her visit to the doctor last week, she complained of always feeling tired and worn down. My greatest struggle, she said, is my lack of energy. I drag myself through each day, barely able to work or even do chores. It doesn't matter how much sleep I get, I still feel worn out. This is no way to live. A simple blood test revealed the source of her fatigue: anemia. Although her condition had a name, Velma knew little about anemia. What did it have to do with kidney disease? Can anemia be treated so she can feel more normal again? She needed to know more. And that's just what we'll help you do in this module. Find out what anemia is, how it relates to kidney disease, how you might know if you have it, and what you can do about it. If you have anemia right now, the information in this module can help you keep your quality of life at its best. Have you felt very tired or fatigued in the last week? Sometimes people don't tell their doctor information that might help them get better care. You might not even think of feeling tired as being a symptom you should bother your doctor with. But if your fatigue is caused by anemia, which can be treated, your doctor can help you. At your next clinic visit, ask about blood tests to check for anemia. Later in this module, we'll tell you what those tests are. If your healthcare team has told you that you have anemia, then you know what treatment is needed. Your doctor's job is to prescribe your treatment. Your job is to pay attention to how you feel, tell your doctor how you feel, learn about your lab tests, and watch your lab results. What is anemia? To understand anemia, you first have to understand red blood cells. Think of your red blood cells as delivery trucks. They carry oxygen to every cell in your body. Oxygen is vital to your existence. If for some reason the drivers went on strike and oxygen couldn't reach your organs and muscles, you would die. Think of anemia as a labor shortage. There aren't enough delivery trucks to carry oxygen through your body. Anemia is a shortage of oxygen-carrying red blood cells. When your body doesn't get the oxygen it needs, it doesn't work well. As you have already learned, the most common symptom of anemia is fatigue. It's one thing to know the name of a symptom and another to know how it might affect you. Listen to what these patients say about how anemia makes them feel. Do you notice any of these in your life? Fatigue. Mary says, "It affected me to the point where we had to wait to do things sometimes because I knew I wasn't going to have the energy. My son is on the bowling team, so he had a lot of bowling matches after school. So on those days when I knew he had a bowling match, I wouldn't do anything that whole day, because I knew if I did something during the day, I would be tired." Feeling cold. Ramon says, "When I get cold, I have to have a lot of covers on me right away, because I feel like I'm having chills." Shortness of breath. Carla says, "If I were climbing a hill, I'd have to stop every 20 feet and catch my breath for about 5 minutes or so, and everybody else would be 5 miles ahead of me, and I'd just have to go slowly. I could still do it. I just wouldn't have the stamina to keep going." You're still able to have short bursts of activity. You just can't maintain it. Trouble concentrating. James says, "My concentration seems to fall off a little bit. I'm an engineer, so I do a lot of technical work. The length of time I can focus on a problem seems to be reduced." If you have felt any of these symptoms and haven't told your doctor yet, make a point to call or write them down to report at your next visit. These symptoms may or may not be related to anemia. If you don't feel these symptoms now but notice them in the future, be sure to tell your doctor. Other symptoms of anemia are listed below. Of course, these symptoms may have other causes besides anemia. Do you have any of these? 1. Fatigue or loss of energy. 2. feeling cold all the time. 3. Shortness of breath or chest pain. 4. Pale skin, gums, and fingernail beds. 5. Trouble concentrating. 6. Dizziness and lightheadedness. 7. Headaches. 8. Changes in menstrual cycles in women. 9. Difficulty with erections in men. 10. Slower than usual growth in children. Anemia symptoms can become so severe that some people don't have the energy to do chores, shop, or even take the dog for a walk. Some people with kidney disease even quit their jobs, not realizing that what is making them too tired to work may be treatable anemia. As one patient who was not treated for anemia said, "I've had a job since I've been 13, and at times in my life I've had 2 or 3 jobs at one time. And now I can hardly get up and go sometimes. I had 1 unemployment check in my whole life. So I've always worked, and now I'm not working." What causes anemia? Did you listen to Module 1? If you did, you know that one of the jobs of healthy kidneys is to make a hormone called erythropoietin, or EPO for short. Red blood cells are made inside your bones by stem cells in the bone marrow. Normally, when you run low on red blood cells, EPO signals your bone marrow to make more. Your bone marrow gets the message and steps up red blood cell production. As the kidneys fail, in most cases, they make less EPO. Without EPO, your bone marrow doesn't get the message, and you get anemia. There are many other causes of anemia, too, but not enough EPO is the usual cause in people with kidney disease. Anemia and iron. There is another key player in the anemia story besides EPO, iron. Iron is the key building block for making red blood cells. Without enough iron, EPO will still signal the bone marrow, but few blood cells will be made. We get iron into our bodies by eating foods rich in iron, like liver. But iron in food is not very well absorbed. In fact, almost all of the iron used to make new red blood cells comes from old red blood cells that are broken down. When you are already short of red blood cells, every drop of blood counts. Losing small amounts of blood through lab tests or surgery can make anemia worse. People who are on hemodialysis lose a little bit of blood at each treatment. Anemia begins early in kidney disease, when the kidneys are still working at about 45% of normal level. Anemia tends to worsen as kidney disease progresses. Nearly everyone with kidney failure has anemia. Anemia and your heart. When you have untreated anemia, your muscles do not get enough oxygen. They have to work harder to do the same tasks you did before anemia. That's why you may get so tired. If you are too tired to walk up steps or go to the store, your other muscles can rest. But your heart is a muscle too, and it must keep beating to keep you alive. In fact, with anemia, your heart works even harder than usual. It tries to pump your blood around your body faster to make up for less oxygen. With all this extra work, one of the 4 pumping chambers of your heart, the left ventricle, gets bigger and bigger. This condition is called left ventricular hypertrophy, or LVH for short. Hypertrophy means enlarged. LVH usually starts when the kidneys are failing, after anemia has developed. The problem is very common. By the time kidney failure occurs, nearly 75% of people already have LVH. LVH is a major reason why heart problems are the leading cause of death in people with kidney failure. The good news is anemia can be treated, and that's where we head next. Treating anemia. Now you've learned that the hormone EPO, made by the kidneys, tells your bone marrow to make more red blood cells. But if your kidneys don't make enough EPO, how can you escape anemia? Before 1989, you would have needed many blood transfusions. That was the year synthetic, man-made, erythropoiesis-stimulating agents, ESAs, first came out for people with kidney disease. Since 1989, people with kidney disease have a better quality of life because of ESAs. ESAs help your body to make its own red blood cells. If you had a choice, would you want injections of a drug? Maybe not. But what if the drug would give you more energy so you could get your life back, and injections were the only way you could take it? You would probably get used to it. Erythropoiesis-stimulating agents, ESAs, are one such drug. Some people inject ESAs themselves, others go to a clinic. If you have chronic kidney disease, ESAs may be paid for if your blood tests show anemia and you have symptoms. Even if these conditions are met, ESAs may only be paid for if they are given at a clinic or doctor's office. People on dialysis get ESAs while they are treated, and they may have the drug injected into the dialysis tubing. ESAs are costly drugs, so some negotiation may be needed to get insurance to pay for them. For people who are on dialysis, ESAs are paid for by Medicare. Here's what some patients have said about how ESA treatment makes them feel. Maria says, "I couldn't walk across the street. I could not walk up a slanted driveway, not even 50 feet. I could not. I took the elevator from the ground floor to the first floor. I could not walk it. With epoetin shots, you feel really great. I did the Revlon walk, 5K. That makes your life worth living when you have something like that." Chu says, "Before I started taking EPO, I had to walk with a stick or a cane because if I'd walk 25 yards or so, I was huffing and puffing, and I would have to lean on the cane and rest. After probably the fourth injection, I could walk maybe 50 yards and I didn't huff and puff. I didn't know what to expect until after I started feeling better, and I said, maybe there is life." You may know ESAs as Procrit from Orthobiotech, or Epogen and Aranesp from Amgen. ESAs reduce fatigue, increase appetite, and improve endurance. They have become a standard treatment for people with kidney disease and anemia. If you receive an ESA, be sure you know your dose and medication schedule. In late 2007, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued a warning about the use of ESAs. It states that ESAs should be used to maintain a hemoglobin level between 10 and 12 grams per deciliter, and warns that higher hemoglobin levels in patients with chronic kidney failure may increase the risk of death. Scientists have said the studies that caused the FDA to issue this warning were flawed, but the warning remains. Talk to your doctor about the risks and benefits of taking an ESA. In addition to an ESA, your doctor may prescribe iron. If your iron levels are too low, then EPO alone won't help. EPO needs iron to do its job. Some iron can be added to your diet by eating iron-rich foods or cooking in a cast iron skillet. Most of the time, an iron supplement is needed. Your doctor will suggest or prescribe one if you need it. Iron can be taken by mouth as pills or elixirs, which is a liquid medicine, or given intravenously into a vein. Fast facts about iron. Did you know liver, all kinds, iron-fortified cereals, beef, pork chops, poultry, lima beans, and kidney beans are the food sources with the most iron? Some of these foods may not be good choices for people with kidney disease, so talk to a dietitian before making any food changes. 1 out of 200 to 300 people has a genetic problem called hemochromatosis, which causes a buildup of too much iron. The treatment is removing some blood. Vitamin C helps you absorb more iron when you take them together. However, people on dialysis should limit vitamin C to 60 milligrams a day. Combining iron with coffee or a high-fiber diet means you absorb less. Iron pills or vitamins containing iron are the number one cause of poisoning deaths in children under 6, even with childproof caps. As with all of your drugs, keep iron pills out of the reach of children. If your doctor prescribes IV iron for you, a nurse or doctor will give you a test dose because a very small number of people, less than 1%, have a bad reaction to some types of iron injections. If you begin to wheeze or have trouble breathing, your healthcare provider can give you epinephrine or steroids to fight the reaction. Even though the risk is small, you may be asked to sign a form stating that you understand the possible reaction and that you agree to have the treatment. Talk to your healthcare provider if you have any questions. At this point, you may be wondering, how do I know when my blood and iron levels are too low? Let's move on to some important tests that will help you understand what's going on with your blood. If your doctor believes you may have anemia, the first place that he or she will look will be your blood. Blood will be drawn to measure hemoglobin, hematocrit, reticulocyte count, which is the number of new red blood cells, and iron levels. We'll talk about these a little later on. Sometimes people are anemic because they are losing blood from their intestines without even knowing it. Another test the doctor should ask for is a check of your stool for occult or hidden blood. To do this, a sample of your stool is collected, usually in a plastic hat that fits into the toilet. A tiny bit of stool is taken from several spots and smeared onto a special card. In the lab, a solution is dripped onto the card and it changes color if blood is present. Measuring anemia. The easiest way for your doctor to tell if your red blood cell counts are healthy is to perform a simple blood test called a complete blood count, or CBC. This screening includes two tests to detect anemia. The first measures hemoglobin. The second measures hematocrit. Together, sometimes these tests have the nickname H&H. Hemoglobin is the iron-based, oxygen-carrying protein in red blood cells that give blood its red color. When the hemoglobin levels are normal, red blood cells are round and red. They carry the right amount of oxygen to the organs and muscles. When hemoglobin levels are low, they lose their vibrant red color and appear pale and misshapen. Red blood cells in this condition cannot carry the needed oxygen to the body. Ask for copies of your lab test results. Your lab tests may tell you the amount of hemoglobin in your red blood cells, but what do the numbers mean? Normal hemoglobin, abbreviated as HGB or HB, on the lab test results should range from 14 to 18 grams per deciliter for healthy men, 12 to 16 grams per deciliter for healthy women. The target hemoglobin for men and women with kidney disease is 10 to 12 grams per deciliter, even though normal in the absence of kidney disease is a little higher. The important part for you to know is your actual number and how it changes over time and with treatment. Blood is made up of plasma fluid, red blood cells, white blood cells, and other types of cells. Hematocrit measures the percent of blood that is made up of red blood cells. When the percent of red blood cells is low, fewer delivery trucks are on hand to carry oxygen throughout the body. The normal range for hematocrit is 40 to 50% for healthy men and 36 to 44% for healthy women. The target hematocrit for men and women with kidney disease is 33 to 36%. Your hemoglobin and hematocrit levels are important. Your doctor uses them to diagnose anemia and to adjust your treatment if you have anemia. If you are just starting an ESA, you will probably have blood tests often to measure your response to the medicine. Once your hemoglobin and hematocrit increase to the desired level, the tests will become less frequent. Tracking your lab test values is a key part of taking an active role in your healthcare. This knowledge can help you talk with your healthcare team. Knowing your levels also gives you a goal if your readings are outside the range your doctor sets for you. Be sure to ask for your results the next time you have your blood tested. Now that you know how to read the numbers for hemoglobin and hematocrit, you can follow your progress over time. For more information on being your own manager, listen to Module 3, Working with Your Healthcare Team. Besides hemoglobin and hematocrit, there are two other tests that relate to anemia and are important for you to know about. Both measure iron levels in your blood. Iron is needed as a building block to make red blood cells, so it is not enough to have EPO. You need iron too. The first test is called ferritin, or serum ferritin. The second test is called transferritin saturation, or TSAT. Let's look at ferritin first. Because iron is so important for healthy blood cells, the body has a way to save extra iron for a rainy day. Iron that isn't needed right away is stored in a protein called ferritin. A blood test for ferritin measures how much iron is stored in your body. For healthy people, a normal ferritin range is from 30 to 300 nanograms per milliliter of blood. For people on dialysis, the target range of ferritin is 100 to 800 nanograms per milliliter. Keeping the ferritin in this range assures enough, but not too much iron. A little stored iron is a good thing. Too much iron in the body is not. Iron can build up in tissues and organs, causing damage or even death, so it's important to keep an eye on your ferritin level and be sure it is not too high. The second test is called transferrin saturation, or TSAT for short. TSAT measures how many building blocks of iron are in your body to make red blood cells. Low T-sat levels mean iron deficiency, often due to blood loss or problems with your body releasing stored iron when it is needed. Like hematocrit, T-sat is measured in percentages. The normal range of T-sat is about 20 to 50%, the same range as for people not on dialysis. A word about lab tests. We have given you information about normal ranges for lab tests and ranges used for people on dialysis. When possible, we use research-based clinical practice guidelines to provide lab test ranges. Testing laboratories are each a little bit different. The laboratory used by your doctor may have different normal ranges than the ones provided here. If so, please use the ranges your doctor gives you, as they may be better suited to your age, gender, altitude, or health condition. Managing anemia. While it may not be possible to completely avoid anemia with kidney disease, there is much you can do along with your healthcare team to manage it. How you can manage anemia. 1. Always ask to see your lab test results and track them in a file or notebook. This will help you to talk with your care team in an informed way, know what is going on inside your body, and follow your progress over time. Ask your doctor what your target levels are for each test. Then, you will know what you are aiming for and if you are succeeding. 3. Ask your doctor to explain how to bring your lab tests back into the target range if they are outside of it. You will learn what to do, and this will let your doctor know that staying healthy is something you are willing to work at. 4. Keep a diary of your symptoms. What are they? When do they occur? What makes them better or worse? This can be done in the same notebook with your lab test results. Once you do this, you can bring the diary to the clinic to remind you of things to ask the healthcare team. You can see if your symptoms relate to anything you do or eat, or to the medications you take. And you can see if your symptoms change as your lab test results do. 5. If you are diagnosed with anemia, but are not being treated with an ESA and iron, ask your doctor why. This will help you to get the best healthcare possible. 6. Keep track of your doses of ESAs and iron if you receive them. You will be an informed patient who knows about medications. 7. Take your medications in the right dose, at the right time, in the right way. Your medications will be more effective, and you may avoid some side effects. 8. Tell your care team if your anemia symptoms do not improve. Your medications may need to be adjusted so you feel better and have more energy. This is the conclusion of Module 6 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and will listen to other modules.